The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Can you just keep doing that for? I'm just going to share a couple minutes here. I want you to look in your Bible. I just have a thought I want to impart to you before we get out of here. It's in James chapter 5. Listen to me. These are bad times. These are really wicked times. The heroin crisis. I've been called to meetings with, seriously, and without exaggerating, with a handful of other pastors, by local officials, law enforcement people, in very small private meetings. And they're throwing their hands up, saying, "We don't know what to do." The heroin epidemic is a scourge right now. It's a plague in America and around the world. The anniversary of it was last week. It's when Pastor Josh Willis lost his grandson. Here, Pastor Josh has given his life to helping drug addicts, alcoholics. He's given them a place to come. He's clothed the naked. He's fed the hungry. And never at their expense, he's provided the word and salvation, the gospel, for many, just thousands of people through the years. He's had Cincinnati Reds players, former Reds players in there, Bengals players. So, you know, he's had rich, poor. He's had it all. And last year, right about now, his own grandson, lost his life because of a heroin overdose. And I held Josh's hand through that. I mean, that was a difficult funeral, and days leading up to that, he'd fall on me and just weep. Well, little did I know that 1 month later, next month is the anniversary of my nephew Jay's overdose, addiction, and death. So it's personal to me. These are really wicked times, man. And people don't know what to do about it. That's just one of our epidemics. Our government is divided, polarized. Our nation is polarized. Things are wild out there. Markets are unstable. The world is just difficult, man. We're in a season of uncertainty and difficulty. I wouldn't live without Jesus in these times. I couldn't do it. I don't know how people are doing it. But they're not doing it well, I'm telling you. And I'll tell you what I'm not going to give them. I'm not going to give them a placebo church experience. You know, a placebo is a fake medicine. It's a false medicine. They give placebos to people when the problem they think is just in their mind. But if they just want something, so they'll give them a placebo. It's got no power to do anything, but the people think it does, and so they do better. I made up my mind. I am not giving people a placebo for church. One guy said, he said that today, you know what a lot of churches are? They're hospitals by the sign. They got an emergency room. They got a big sign, hospital, right? But they got no medicine. Even if they had medicine, there's not a doctor that's trained enough to know what to do with it. I want to give people, if we're going to be a hospital, I want to be a real hospital. Yeah. I want to know how to bandage people up. I want to know how to give people the right kind of medicine. I'm talking about Jesus' medicine. Because Jesus' medicine, I'm telling you, is the answer for this crazy world. Jesus can fix anything. I've watched him. He's healed my life. He's fixed my life. He fixed my drug addiction. He fixed my alcohol thing. He fixed that sensual part of my life. He fixed my unfaithfulness. He healed my heart, gave me a brand new heart. And I'm not giving the world some placebo. Don't you think about it. We're giving them the real thing, man. That's we better today, because today they need that. But in these uncertain times, there's a word that I think we have to understand. We won't like this word, but it's a Bible word, and it's okay. And I just want to explain it just for a minute. James chapter 5, verse 7. James 5, we're going to read maybe James 5, 7 and 8. Here we go. You see, I'm already some people are turned off to my scripture because of the second word. These are bad times. What do we got to do? I'll tell you one. I'm talking to you. This is today. This is for you. This isn't as the hospital. What are we going to do in terms of how we're going to fix all this? That's not why I brought that up. I brought it up because of us being the hospital. We got how to stay okay as the hospital. I'll tell you what we got to do. Be patient. We got to be patient. You know why you got to be patient as the hospital and the church? We got to be patient because, the game's not. We act like the game's over. Well, I'm going to tell you, the game's not over yet. And there's something in me that's stirring in me that God, you know, being the baseball guy I am, I know this. I know that you may not know much about baseball, but if you know this much, it'll help you with your spiritual life. The home team always bats last. Ha! And God is always the home team. You know what's the matter with us when we get bummed out and discouraged about what's going on? We think the game's almost over. And it looks like the enemy's got this much of a lead. And oh no, look at how far ahead the enemy is. Look how many. I mean, the other day the city officials just went through all the statistics of how many deaths just in our county. Montgomery County up by Dayton, right? That is the largest death ratio population in America. In America, in the whole country, up the road. Jay used to tell me after he got saved, my nephew that overdosed, after he got saved, he and some of his friends, there was a while that he went every day, he made a run to Dayton. Right, Evan knows that, because Evan right here is a testimony. Evan was in I met Evan when he was in Teen Challenge, where the devil tried to make that scourge get on him and that plague touch his life and take his life. But by God's grace and mercy, he's still here. And I'm telling you, we're proud of you, Evan. Thank you. You're not going to be a statistic. You're going to make it, man. Huh? I mean, all around us here, it looks like the devil's winning. You look at these, you know, this is just blah, 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 unless you really know my heart, man. The play churches look like they're winning.
Yeah.
Because people don't want, you know, it seems like they want easy stuff. They don't want to hear messages like, help me be faithful. they want to go to the church where it doesn't matter if you're faithful or not. We're going to always tell you that you got to be faithful. We're going to always tell you we should tithe. We're going to always tell you that you got to pick up your cross and come and die and follow Jesus. So It looks like the play church is ahead. It looks like the devil's ahead. It looks like darkness is having its way in America. Well, there's one thing that the hospital, the real church, that's got the medicine, and we got the know-how to fix what's broken when people come to the hospital. Here's what you got to do. Even when it looks like we're down, you got to know this. It's not the bottom of the ninth yet. Maybe it's the top of the ninth. There's nine innings in baseball. An inning is made up of two parts. The top of the inning, right, is when the visitor bats. So they bat in the top of the first, second, third, fourth, through the ninth. But then there's always, no matter what's going on, the home team always bats last. So you could be down by 25 runs, and then the other team gets out in the top of the ninth. They get their three outs. You got three more outs, and you got your turn at bat. Maybe I'll say it this way in these terms. It seems like God always does it like this anyway. Right. He lets the other team get way out ahead. They got way more runs than we got. They got more people than we got. Remember, the Lord told Gideon was going to go down and fight with them. The Lord as much as told him, you know what's the matter, brother? I'm not going to let this happen yet. You got too many people with you. Let's get down to like 300 people. Yeah, what are we going to use to fight with? Well, I took that all away from you too. You don't have any weapons. You're just going to shout real loud and throw these lamps. That's the way it is. They were outnumbered. Most of the battles of Israel, man, they were outnumbered. But when God got involved in it, and he took his turn at the bottom of the ninth. I was teaching Zayd how to a batting thing the other day, and he was swinging, he'd bring that back foot out, and I mean for an hour I took his foot and screwed it down in the ground like this. You got to dig in that back foot. That back foot doesn't move. When you swing at a baseball, you step with your front foot, but this thing here is your push off foot. The ball's outside, you do that. If it's inside, you do that. Right? But this foot here, you dig in. I want to tell the church something. You got to screw your foot down in that dirt. You got to dig in, man. That's what we got to do as the hospital. We're working with God. We're up in the bottom of the ninth. And we may be way behind, but I'm digging my back foot in, brother. And this back foot's not. Don't you pick up that back foot. That's what people are doing today. They're picking up their back foot, and they're giving up, or they're not even willing to play the bottom of the ninth because it looks like the devil's had his way. But I want to tell you tonight, today God himself is in heaven, and God's digging in. He's digging in, I want to tell you right now, let this be a prophecy. I'm telling you, God knows the score. He knows how far, he knows how bad it looks in your life, and he knows how much money we need and how we got assignments. We know our assignments. We just need the money. God knows all that. God's not stupid about it. He's looked at the scoreboard. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's just trying to tell the church, while even in the top of the ninth, while maybe they're running around the bases and mocking us, and the score is going higher and higher against us, God says, just understand this. I haven't had my turn at bat yet. Ha! Ha! And then you come to the bottom of the ninth. God puts his back foot in there and he digs in. And he stares down. That's what I want you to do in your life. Don't you show that pitcher any fear. Don't you let that pitcher look like you know he throws a mean fastball, and he throws high and tight fastballs, and you're scared he's going to hit you, or you're afraid of him. I'll tell you what you do. Every believer ought to do this today. You dig your back foot in, and you get in that batter's box, and you stare down that pitcher. You stare him right between the pupil. Look at him right in his eyes, and stare at him. And say, we may be down by 15 runs in the bottom of the ninth, but I'll tell you what, God is up now. And God is working through me. And so I'm up. In some way, we're all up. It's our turn at bat. And I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to be patient. Keep that up there. You got to be patient. Say, I'm going to be patient. Be patient. Because if you get impatient, you'll think the game's over. Don't act like the game's over. It's not over. Because God's getting up. Be patient, therefore, brethren. How long? All the way until the coming of the Lord. You keep swinging, praise God, until the Lord comes. You keep playing till Jesus comes back. You keep playing. I don't care how bad the times are, how bad the seasons are, how bad the plague is. You stay in that game. And you let God take his turn at bat. And this is what I was starting to tell you, man. I mean it, man. I want to tell you right now, I believe this is going to be called one of the greatest comebacks that the world has ever seen. I believe by the power of the Holy Ghost, I believe everybody that's gotten impatient, left the church, given up, said, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm tired of, I'm not going to do it. They're too far behind and such and so. I'm going to tell you, they're going to be shocked. There's a word, a baseball word is called, it's rally time. It's rally time. A lot of times like ball games and stuff, it's rally time, and the kids will take their ball hat, turn it around, turn it sideways or inside out, or do something and put it on their head as an announcement to the other people on the team. It's rally time. A rally is a comeback. It's from being way far down, but we're rallying. I want to tell you today, I'm telling you, everybody, that it looks like you're losing and you think the church is losing, I'm telling you, I got my rally cap on. It's rally time. It's rally time. I'm telling you, we're in a rally. We're in a revival of the power of God. It's God's turn to bat, and it's rally time. It's rally time. Woo! It's rally time. We're in a Holy Ghost rally. I'm telling you, we're making a comeback. I'm telling you, we're going to win this thing. After all, we're going to win. It's rally time. Woo! It's rally time. We heard a guy recently, Pastor Rodriguez, that preached at, well, it was one of the speakers at Pastor Parsley's camp meeting. He preached, said the Lord showed him, there is a new Jesus movement coming to America. And I was with somebody, a friend that's been my friend a long time. Haven't seen him in a long time. He's one of Brother Copeland's dearest friends. And he was flying through here the other day. Hadn't seen him in years. And he got a hold of me and said, could you get a coffee with me? And he was like me. He's about my age. And so he was talking about, we did the same kind of drugs in our past. But he got saved during the Jesus movement. And in the late 60s and early 70s, something happened in the world. It was bigger than us. it was like a water that got out, and it started. This was my favorite part of the Jesus movement was, because it started with the hippies. It started with people. It didn't start in the church. It didn't start with a bunch of religious people, because they didn't want, I don't think they'd let it get started. It started with the revolutionaries. It started, look man, I was already picking it on campuses and doing wild stuff. I was countercultural, man. We were already edgy. God said, that looks like a group that I could use. And it swept America, went through America. You know where it started? It started on the beaches of Southern California. That's a fact. This is like a historical fact. You can read this. And hippies on the beach started getting saved. And it started spreading. All Christian music that we know of today, it started on the beaches of Southern California. All contemporary Christian music, it started and started sweeping its way through America. And thousands and thousands, tens of hundreds of thousands of people that were young at that time. I got saved in 1973, right in the middle of the Jesus movement. People got saved. There weren't non-denominational churches at large. There wasn't that then. But those Jesus, I mean, and I mean, it was like an unbelievable amount of people. I mean, like nothing that you, if you're under 50, I mean, you don't know what I'm talking about. Because it's like you had to be in it to know it. It was like they're everywhere. People were getting saved. All the time. All those revolutionaries started getting saved. Then those revolutionaries like me, then we started going to Bible school. We started planting non-denominational churches and taught the message of faith and God can do anything and all that stuff, man. It was a big, I mean, a revival. And I'm telling, this guy prophesied this. He said a brand new Jesus movement is coming to America and has already started. And I'm telling you, it's like I want to equate that to a rally. This thing that's going to hit the world, man, is sovereign. It's by God's grace, and we're going to be part of it. And it's going to sweep so many people in. You know, one of the worst things you can do, every once in a while will I go to a ball game and leave early. I'm in for the whole thing. Even when the Reds are way down, which is most of the time these days. You know why? Because I've seen people through the years. I've watched them. I think it's the bottom of the eighth. The Reds are getting killed or something. Oh, I got to beat traffic. In my mind, I thought, I'm not leaving. You know why? This could be, this. If they could come back from this. There's always hope. There's always, always. I don't care. There could be a rally. Something could happen in the bottom of the ninth. I've been down there. You know how many Reds games? I mean, through the years, I've been going to Reds games since 1961. And you know how many times I've been there? When, especially the Big Red Machine, they were great for comebacks. They were never out of anything. We never gave up. We never said, well, they're too far ahead. I think I'll go to the car. Get the car, Myrtle. We're going to the car. No, I'm always standing there saying there's always hope. There's a way. There's a rally coming. Oh, come on. Listen. And when they're way down, but when it's the bottom of the ninth, I want to tell you, I'm not sitting in my seat going, well, this is probably not going to turn out good. I'm telling you what, many times down at that stadium, I'll stand on a chair. I'll say, you got a hit in your bat. You got one more. Come on. Base hit. Get on. We need some runs. Come on. You got it. Everybody else is going to the car. I'm screaming. No, we're going to have a rally. We're going to win this thing. We're going to pull this thing out. There's always hope. What do I got to do? Here's what you got to do. You got to be patient. You got to be patient under the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits. That's what we're doing right now. We're just waiting. We're not waiting in defeat. We're just waiting. You know, I don't care if they got up by 30 runs. Unless the game's over, that doesn't go in a loss column yet. It's not over. They're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Waiting for the manifestation. That's what I'm waiting for. I've lived my life. You know, the scripture talks about Simeon and Anna. And they got so old. But God's, you know why they were still around when Jesus was born? Because God spoke to him one day and said, I told you, I'm telling you, you're not going to die till you see him come. Till you see him get here. And Simeon was one of the guys, and Anna, man, when he was born, they were so excited in their because they were waiting. They were patient. We're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That's that revival. And he has long patience. I don't know if I've been saved 44 years Friday. I don't know if 44 qualifies as long. But I'll tell you this, it feels long. In time thing, you know, it feels like a long time, man. Huh? I've been waiting a long time to see the glory of the Lord. And I've seen little down payments of it. I've seen the church have a revival here and a revival there and a little rally here and a rally there, but not a rally like this. Like the last one. Like, you know, we might have been down by a lot. And maybe at the bottom of the seventh, we scored a few, but we were still way behind. Bottom of the eighth, we scored a couple, but we're still way behind. So now here we are. We always talk about it. We're in the last days. This gives new meaning to that. When I say last days now, I want you to think about God digging in. Because it's God's turn to bat. In the bottom of the ninth, I have waited with long patience for it until, how long are you going to wait? Well, when's it going to come? When we receive the early and the latter rain. You know, that. The early rains were the spring rains. The latter rains were the fall rains. Here's what he said. In these days, and he prophesied this in the old covenant, there's coming a day where the early rains and the latter rains are going to come at the same time. And when they come, all the word that I've been speaking for 44 years, when that rain comes down on the ground of the earth, harvest like we've never seen is going to come. A new Jesus movement, a new move of God was going to sweep through America. Don't be one of those folks that got impatient and tired of waiting, and so you just went and sat in the car so you could beat the traffic. Come on now. I'm staying here. I'm going to watch this thing until the end. I know guys in my life that in key ball games, they left early. And the Reds made a monumental comeback. And while I stood there and shouted, enjoyed it, made it part of my history, and I could say about that game, I was there when they had to be embarrassed and say, I was there, but I left early. You can go home if you want to. You can give up on the church if you want to. But I'm staying until we win this game. Somebody shout glory. Shout, stand up real quick. Let's shout out. Shout out. It's rally time. It's rally time. It's revival time. It's God's time. Shout it again. It's rally time. It's my rally time. I'm making a comeback. The greatest comeback in history is going to stop me. Shout it again. It's rally time. If you believe that, give the Lord a good shout of praise and thanksgiving. Come on, it's rally time. It's rally time for the church. It's rally time in America. It's rally time for the gospel. It's rally time. Rally time. What time is it? It's good. There was a boxer from Cincinnati named Aaron Pryor. How many boxing fans know Aaron Pryor? Forget what his weight was. He was maybe a middleweight. He was batter a little bit lower. Aaron Pryor was from the, he was from downtown Cincinnati. I knew people that knew him when he was growing up. He went on to become the world champion. Sarah, man, was into it, man. And I remember years ago, we loved Aaron Pryor, and I loved his style because he was just, he'd come out, he didn't like, just wait a little bit till the end and then put some effort in it. That brother came out swinging. And he, and his little contingency, his nickname was the Hawk. When he'd come out, he'd stand up, look at his contingency and say, "What time is it?" They'd shout, "It's Hawk time. It's Hawk time." He'd be going down the street, people would be hollering, "What time is it? It's Hawk time." It's time for him to get in the ring and win that world championship in an incredible upset at first. Then people everywhere started believing it's always Hawk time. I believe God, since I've been reading my Bible, it's rally time. What time is it? It's rally time. Don't you forget that now. There will be a test. One more time. What time is it? Rally time. It's revival time. It's our time. What do we got to do? We just got to be patient. You just hang in there till God digs his foot in and we win this game. But you're going to win, and I'm going to win, and we're going to win. Ha! For the glory of God. How many know this is true? All victories aren't equal. The best ones are the ones where you're down big and you come back. There's something that it tastes different than all the rest. When there was no hope, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, he'd go in that tent and said, "Mama, it's rally time. It's rally time." Tell you, it's rally time in our life, in our ministry. It's rally time. It's rally time. It's rally time for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is revival time. It's time for the outpouring. It's time for the faithful of the land that have been patient, Lord, to see the precious fruit of the earth come. It's time for the early and the latter rain to join forces in our life. And all the seed of the word that's been inside us come to pass and harvest. It's harvest time. It's rally time. It's time. It's miracle time. It's time for all your hopes and dreams to come to pass for the glory of God.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.